Morning, everyone. Welcome once again to our Free Community Church Sunday service, going digital and going live, right? So, well, it's the first Sunday after General Elections 2020. So, I hope you feel things are different for you. Now, for me, it feels like nothing much have changed. And I hope everyone don't feel disheartened. Like all change, all changes takes time, especially systemic change, right? And it ties into to our topic for today, where Pastor Pauline will actually bring us through the theme of new creation and how do we deal with change and how do we approach change. So as we go on this journey to explore more, I'd like to invite us first to encounter God through our worship. So may I invite all of us to respond to the call to worship and thereby preparing our hearts to meet God. Come, walk in green pastures.
We follow the shepherd.
Come, lie down in green pastures.
We trust the shepherd.
Come, dine at the table of abundance.
We are fed by the shepherd.
Come, dwell in God's house.
We live in the shepherd's care.
Loving shepherd, you know our names. You care for us when we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table.
May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, FCC.
How are you doing?
Emma.
I have a present for the congregation today.
Not for me.
Ta-da! Just want you to know that God loves you, and so do we. Okay? Shall we start our worship? Let's come this morning with a heart of gratitude. Some of us poor in health, might be poor monetary, but also know that you are rich. Rich with family, rich with friends, and love you. Is always watching over us, making sure that you're okay. So let's come with hearts of gratitude this morning. Thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because is given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let
the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say
Psalm 75, verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God, for your wondrous works declare that your name is new. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Revelation 11, verse 17. We give you thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign.
And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what
a Sunday morning without some exercise. Here we go again. So, let me teach you the really simple steps of this little light of mine. So the first verse is this little light of mine. So, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Okay, super simple. Second verse. Everywhere I go. She's really good, huh? So, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. You gotta put some effort in it so it can burn like 20 calories. And I'm gonna let it shine. Third verse. Hide it under a bushel. Hide it. Bushel. Hide it. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Last verse. Deep inside my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Okay, without further ado, let's get some exercise going. Get it? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. bushel.
Hide it under bushel.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under bushel.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under bushel.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
That's a lot of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, loving us constantly, giving us this amazing love. Thank you, Lord, for all these years, still there.
Testify. has been the same for only the God who was and is to come has been the same for me. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. The only truth ever given up after all these years. Your constant Jesus me after all you've done. It amazes me you're still running after us after all these years. You've never given up, Lord, after all these years. It amazes me after all you've done. It amazes me you're still running
today we let's not of all creation. And guide us. Continue to fill us with your love. Fill your presence with presence. Thus, as we live in this life. Thank you for your many blessings. Also, thank you that.
Thank you.
My dear siblings and friends, I'd like to apologize. Some of you might be facing some technical issues earlier. Just now, the stream for the worship due to technical issues and editing, it's not as smooth as I expected. So you may want to revisit the worship by going to the link shared in the Q&A, FCC Live Worship link if you like to. And for those of you who are watching us, our live stream, our Sunday service on the Android phone, you might want to switch to a different device. As today, the Teams app on Android phones are facing some technical issues also. You might be only seeing the stream in a partial view. So if you are using Android phone, please switch to either a non-Android phone mobile device or use the web version instead. Now, I would like to hand over the time and invite Reverend Myak Siu to lead us in a time of prayer.
Thank you, Jimmy. Will you join me in prayer? Mystery beyond our knowing. Some call you God, Yahweh, El Shaddai, you who are beyond name. Yet you are not far beyond, but here with us, as close as our breath. We cry out to you because we need something. We need you, the bigger than us. We cry out as individuals. We cry out as nations. We cry out as those who have no voice. Children, immigrants, those whose ability are limited by nature or society, elderly people whose decisions are made by others. We cry out because we need something beyond ourselves and because we acknowledge that even we don't know what we need right now. Mystery, holy God, whatever you are, we need you. We cry out for those who feel homeless, for those in war zones who are hiding to stay alive. We cry out for those who are struggling with the COVID-19 virus and need breath to survive. We cry out for those who are struggling to make ends meet. We cry out for those who are retrenched, who lost income, who are struggling. We cry out for those who are fearful and anxious about the future. We cry out for the voiceless who can't even formulate a prayer. We give thanks to Paul who told us that when we cannot speak, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Thank you that when we are without words, you supply them with mystery. Right now, we pray for ourselves, for our families, for our community, for our church, for those who are dying, for those who are caring for the hurt and dying, for those who are inspiring the ones without confidence, for those who are trying to make relationships work, for those who are trying to figure a way out of this pandemic, for those who feel lost and unable to even state what they need. Together we pray, together we offer gratitude, hope, promise, because we trust in you, you who are all to us, our creator, our sustainer, our provider. All this in all the names, holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Miak. This morning, I wanted to start with a question that has been on my mind. Why is change so hard? In the Bible, we are called a new creation in Christ. As Christians, we talk a lot about growth and transformation. And I would say most of us sincerely aspire towards becoming more like Christ. But do you sometimes get discouraged and disheartened when you look at the church worldwide or at our church community, or even when you look at your own life? If you felt discouraged or disheartened at some point, you're not alone. I have been discouraged and disheartened at various points too. And if we mere humans are discouraged, how do you think God feels about everything? Wouldn't God look at the state of the world and the state of the church and perhaps the state of our lives and feel like giving up? Yet God doesn't. And I wonder why. What does God know that we don't? What does God see that we don't? Today we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 21. And if you have time later, I want to invite you to read this passage more closely. But for now, I want to begin by highlighting two verses from this portion of scripture. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. If you belong to Christ, you have become a new person. The old is gone, and a new life has begun. But not only that, after God brought us back through Christ and made us a new creation, it doesn't just stop there. They've also been given the task of reconciling people to God. One of the major themes in 2 Corinthians is this theme of reconciliation. All this is from God, who reconciled us to God's self through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is a radical message of good news. For God surely had reason to look at humankind and give up on us. But instead, God chose to reconcile us to God's self through Christ and even gave us the ministry of reconciling others to God. Wow, a new creation, new humanity, reconciled people, reconciling others. God making us a new creation and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. All this sounds so wonderful. But when we look at our lives and our church and the world around us, where's the new creation? Where's the new humanity? Why does it feel like so little has changed? If we follow the writings of Paul and the other disciples, and even what Jesus said to Nicodemus about rebirth, we see that change is a birthing process. The new world being born is still in the delivery stage. New life has already begun, but is not fully here yet. And this is a beautiful tension that theologians like to call already, but not yet. Yes, we are already children of God, and we have assurance of eternal life. Yet our bodies will decay, and we will go through physical death. Yes, we are a new creation. God has already made us new. Yet we are still imperfect and a work in progress. Yes, the church is made up of people who are both new creatures in Christ and still imperfect sinners, already, but not yet. And that's how God sees us. In God's eyes, we are a new creation. But God knows better than anyone else that we are still undergoing the transformation process. And God is ever so patient with us. Change and growth is part and parcel of being a Christian, a new creation in Christ. But real change is hard, and it requires commitment and intention on our part. The word change usually refers to new beginnings. But change more often happens not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. And that's why change is hard. It involves letting old things fall apart so that something new can take its place. This means old values, old ways of doing things, old communication styles, old ways of looking at ourselves and at the world. Before something new can come into being, we need to let go of things that are not working in our lives. We need to let our old ways fall apart. And that's why change is so hard for all of us. We like what is familiar. We are comfortable with what is familiar, even when it's not serving us well. Yet change is necessary. Richard Rohr says, the pain of something old falling apart, chaos, invites the soul to listen at a deeper level and sometimes forces the soul to go to a new place. Most of us would never go to new places in any other way. We will normally do anything to keep the old thing from falling apart. Yet this is when we need God to guide and help us take the new pathways that God is already making for us. Change is hard, but necessary. Why? Because God is already making a way. Last Sunday, we talked about our waymaker God in Isaiah 43. Last week was part one, which lays the foundation. God is doing a new thing, making a pathway through the wilderness, creating rivers in the desert. In short, God is saying, I will do the impossible. And we are part of that new thing. God is making a way for us. And we need to do our part too. We need to take the steps and walk out onto the pathways that God makes and drink from the rivers created for our sustenance. So God may make the way, but we need to step out and walk on the paths that have been made for us. Change is also necessary because we have been made new. Because once we belong to Christ, we are made new, and our perspective is changed forever. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Paul said at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Once we know Christ differently, and not just as a mere human being, once we know Christ as Savior and Lord, once we know we belong to Christ, our perspectives are changed forever. We have become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. It doesn't mean we are totally transformed immediately, but it does mean we stop evaluating others and ourselves from a human point of view. There are many things to change in the way we see ourselves and others. I'll focus on two today. I chose these two issues because I think it applies to most of us. So the first is forgiveness. Knowing Christ should change how we understand and practice forgiveness. You know, as a pastor, I've had a number of people confide in me how hard it is for them to forgive someone who has done them wrong or hurt them grievously. I understand and identify their pain and a bitterness that threatens to consume us on the inside. We all know we should forgive. After all, Jesus said we should forgive 70 times 7 times, meaning we should always forgive someone, even for repeated offenses. But forgiveness is so hard, isn't it? We know it's good and right to forgive, but in reality, it's so hard to let go of the anger and the pain. So I just wanted to share some reflections and hope that they will be helpful to you in some way. Firstly, forgiveness is not dependent on how sorry the other person is. Sometimes we don't get an apology. Sometimes the person doesn't even know they hurt us, and there's no way of letting them know. Sometimes that person says sorry, but it was done more in the interest of how they can move on. Sometimes you can't feel their remorse, and you doubt the sincerity of their apology. But it all doesn't matter, because forgiveness is not dependent on how sorry the other person is. When our ability to forgive is dependent on the other person's level of remorse, we give over our power to forgive, and we stay stuck in the pain and the bitterness. Forgiveness doesn't free the other person. It frees you. Sometimes we think our anger is our power, and we hang on to it. But anger tends to bleed into our other relationships, and it ends up damaging our other relationships with people we love. Natra Zabian wrote, "Today I decided to forgive you, not because you apologized or because you acknowledged the pain that you caused me, but because my soul deserves peace." Your soul deserves peace, and your other relationships deserve peace. See, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness is a moral virtue in which the offended person tries over time to get rid of toxic anger or resentment and to offer goodness of some kind to the offending person. Often forgiveness is given without the offending party knowing about it. Forgiveness frees you, not the other person. Reconciliation, on the other hand, requires both parties to come together. It is a negotiation strategy in which two or more people come together again in mutual trust. It takes a lot of grit and grace, but forgiveness brings strength that enables you to heal and to move forward with your life. Forgiveness is the first step towards reconciliation. But reconciliation may not happen for all of our relationships. Perhaps, in some cases, the other party is not willing. Or maybe you have determined that it's no longer possible to build mutual trust with the other person. Whichever the case, Jesus was right that we need to practice forgiveness as much and as often as we can. This is for our sake, more than for anyone else's. And this includes forgiving ourselves too. We are often very hard on ourselves and refuse to let go of our mistakes and our failures, even when God has forgiven us already. We have been made new, and we need to change the way we evaluate ourselves and others so that we can heal and move forward with our lives. The second thing that we can change in the way we evaluate ourselves and others is recognizing our privilege. Recognizing privilege leads us to involving ourselves in God's work of shalom, which is restoring all things, all relationships to how they were meant to be. This past Friday, we started on the first session of our conversation series on privilege. I want to thank Miak for organizing and facilitating this series. Why is it important for us to recognize our privilege? Because we have been entrusted with the task of reconciling the world to God, and we want to involve ourselves in God's work of shalom, namely restoring all things and relationships to how they were meant to be. It begins with us recognizing our privilege. Privilege is not something we consciously ask for. Having privilege does not mean we are immune to life's hardships, but it does mean having an unearned benefit or advantage one receives in society by nature of their identity. So examples of types of identity that can give an individual privilege include things like race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, socioeconomic status, your country of origin, language, and or ability. So living in Singapore, there are many parts of my identity where I am privileged. My race, my education, my socioeconomic background, the fact that I'm cisgender, etc. Over the past few months, we have become increasingly aware of the inequalities of the systems in our world and the devastating effects they have on minorities, the disadvantaged, and the vulnerable. If we are to do anything about these dire situations, we need to start by recognizing our own privilege and listen to those who have less. Only then will we understand the power and influence we have to make a difference. That's what it means when God says we have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. We have often understood this to mean God and humankind felt alienated, and that God replaced feelings of estrangement with those of acceptance. However, there is a larger framework. In Bible times, the term reconciliation usually refers to restoration of property and relationships to their intended purpose. Through Christ, God restores the purposes God had at creation. We, as reconciled people, should represent the new creation in the midst of the old. And in this way, we are ambassadors for Christ. God speaks God's word of consolation through us, and this word calls us all to be reconciled with God, so that we might be reconciled with one another, as Paul sought to be with the Corinthians. Lewis Malcolm says, "For our sake, the one who knew no sin was made to be sin. The righteous one, Jesus, took on all the ways we are hooked in abusive patterns with ourselves or one another, whether as victims or perpetrators. And he did this so that we might become the very righteousness of God, the very spaces where God's reign of mercy and consoling justice might overflow as grace, free gift for all." I love how she describes our reconciliation with God and the task of reconciliation God gives us. The one who knew no sin was made to be sin. And Jesus took on all the ways we are hooked in abusive patterns of ourselves or one another, whether as victims or perpetrators. Even in this faith community, we sometimes hurt one another or even ourselves. But Jesus took on all the ways we are entrenched in causing pain and damage, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This means we are the very spaces, the vessels through which God's mercy and justice overflows as a free gift for all people. This is a profound truth that continues to fill me with wonder. That God would choose to reconcile us to God's self, us who are broken and imperfect, yet made new in Christ. And on top of that, God wanting to pour out God's love, grace, mercy and justice into our lives until it overflows into the lives of others, that we may be ambassadors of Christ. What tremendous grace God has shown us. And that is why we take steps to walk on the pathways God has opened up for us. That's why we take on the difficult work of change, even as God works to transform us from inside out. Change is hard. I realize one of the ways God has been challenging me to change was through people. If I was operating alone, to be honest, there wouldn't be much impetus for change. Sure, I may know what areas I have to change, and I may even think it's good to change. But why put in all the hard work of changing when it's so much easier just staying the way that I am? I find that it is in community that we are challenged the hardest, but also in a good way, to become our best selves. When we are in a community that cares about authenticity, love, and growth, when we have developed enough trust in our relationships with one another, we will be able to help gently identify blind spots and encourage one another in the various areas of change and growth that we each need in order to live out lives of God's shalom, lives that are being restored to wholeness and well-being, lives that are engaged in restoring all things and relationships to their intended purpose. So what can you do for a change? What are some practical things you can do for a change? Well, just as a suggestion, be part of a community. Since community is very important, like when it comes to personal change. For example, you can join a cell group if you're not in one already, or ministry in church. Or maybe for a start, you can join us for the Privileged Conversations that are taking place on the next two Fridays. It's very easy to feel disconnected and just be a consumer of worship experience, especially in this time when most church services are online. We can access live services from around the world, and that is a great resource. But it's very easy to end up being a consumer rather than a disciple or follower of Christ. The hard work of growth and change comes when we are in community with one another. And I have experienced the truth found in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Being in community here at FCC has really taught me what it means that one person sharpens another. It's not always pleasant, and sometimes it's painful. As you can imagine what it's like when iron sharpens iron. There are sparks and there's friction. But I know it always comes with good intentions and from people who ultimately love me and believe in the best version of me. And in return, I hope I do the same for the leaders and members of FCC. Another practical thing you can try is a 30-day challenge. Recently, together with the members of one of our cell groups, Jars of Clay, we took on the 30-day challenge. This came up from an extended study on emotionally healthy spirituality and each of us constructing our rule of life. Basically, we each identified an area in our lives that we felt led to change and shared it with one another for accountability and encouragement. And we checked in with one another regularly to see how we're coming along. So I issue you a 30-day challenge. Pray and ask God, what is one thing that you need to change in your life? It can be something you add on or something you do less of. but keep it simple and realistic. Remember, change involves letting old things fall apart so that something new can take its place. Whatever you decide to do, you can share it within your cell groups or your friend groups and help each other stay on track and encouraged. If you like, you can also share what you are choosing to do for change with me, and I will share mine with you and check in with you how you're coming along from time to time. Change is hard, but necessary. Change is a birthing process, so don't be discouraged or disheartened. God has already made a way for us, and our responsibility to step out and to walk the path ahead of us. Anyone who belongs to Christ has been made new. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. We are reconciled people, called to be vessels through which God's love, justice, grace, and mercy flow through. As a community, let's encourage one another towards living out lives that are being restored to wholeness and well-being. Lives that are engaged in restoring all things, all relationships to God's intended purpose. And as we end, will you join me in a word of prayer as we pause for a time of reflection? Dear God, we thank you that you have made us into a new creation through Christ. Now, change is hard, and we struggle so often with being transformed and with growing into your likeness. So God, help us as individuals and as a community to have the courage to take steps ahead and to help each other along the way in this journey. And we pray this in your many holy names. Amen.
Let us just take a moment to prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. And if you haven't had the chance, now would be a good time to prepare your own elements to represent the bread and wine that we will all partake together as one body. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. And so we gather at the table. We come from many places, differing in age, differing in race, differing in orientation, politics, and even religion.
As we come together around the table, we discover that our differences are not something we tolerate, but our differences are indeed a blessing. The more differences we bring, the more fully we experience the presence of the sacred in our midst.
So come, children of God, just as you are, wherever you are on this journey, you are welcome here, here in this place, here in this community, here at this table. Come, children of God, come and remember with us.
We remember the stories that Jesus' friends tell. Stories of bread broken and shared, feeding a multitude. Stories of being gathered together, enemy and friend, around tables. Stories of unlikely guests revealing the face of the sacred.
They say that it was on a night of both celebration and betrayal that he took the bread on the table, blessed it, and broke it.
Reminding them and us that it is in the breaking that we become whole, in losing our lives that we find them, in serving that we are served. As the grain scattered becomes one in the loaf, when we eat this bread, we become one with one another.
They say that he took the cup on the table, poured out and sharing, remembering with them the life force flowing through our veins, the breath of life from whence we came. As the grapes find life in the vine, when we drink this cup, we become at one with the source of life itself.
And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking, that our eyes might be open, that we might recognize the risen Christ in our midst, indeed, in one another. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Let us now partake of the elements with gratefulness. Holy God, we came to this table different, yet embraced by you all the same. You met us at this table, embracing us and our brokenness, naming us beloved, making us whole, claiming us for an eternity.
We thank you.
We thank you,
loving God. Amen.
Hi everyone, welcome once again to Free Community Church, our Sunday service, the live and going live and digital. So I hope that everyone had a good time earlier and a deep time of reflection through the sermon, thanks to Pastor Pauline. If you are new, now is the segment for our announcement, but before we go into announcement, welcome to Free Community Church, where free stands for first realize everyone's equal. So you are here, welcome. As you are, regardless of your race, your religion, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your social economic status, we are all beloved children of God. And here we call you friend and our sibling. Now you are family to us. So if you are a new friend with us, we'd like to know you and serve you better. And you can do that by helping us to fill up the welcome form at aka.ms/fccwelcome. Next Sunday, like every other last Sunday of the month, after Sunday service, we will actually hold a newcomers meeting. So now that we are still having digital service, we will actually have a digital room after service. So please join us by filling up the form so that we can reach out to you, or you can actually email to us at info@freecomchurch.org, and we will actually respond and register you for the newcomer session. Next, during this time, many of us are still, you know, it may be a challenging time for yourself or people around you, and you know of someone who may need a pastoral care, you can reach out to us. Our pastors will be happy to support you. So email to us at info@freecomchurch.org. Also, after the service, we actually have two activity rooms open for those of us who may need prayer or like to have discussion. So if you'd like to join for a time of prayer, you can go to aka.ms/fccliveprayer. Or if you'd like to go more in-depth in sharing your reflection and your thoughts on the sermon, join us in the discussion room at aka.ms/fccliverediscussion after the service. On every weekday, on a weekly basis, we also have a prayer meeting on every Wednesday from 8 to 8:30. And the pastors will actually, many of us, about like 15 to 20 of us, will actually come together to pray for one another and to have a time of contemplative prayer as part of the segment. So join us if you'd like to, you know, have a time in the middle of the week to reflect and to grow. Join us for our weekly prayer meeting. So the link will be shared in your Q&A, so you can actually just record it down, or you can actually also sign up for the, if you're already on our WhatsApp service, you'll actually receive the URL via WhatsApp. So next, as mentioned earlier, we actually now in the month of July, we're actually running the Privileged Conversations. So just this, just last week, the Friday that just passed, we had our first conversation, and coming this Friday, we have the second conversation of the series. It's really wonderful. It I have attended it myself, and it helped open my eyes on the privilege I receive, but also the injustice that is in our society. Knowing that, it helps me to reflect and inform how I live out my faith, live out my Christian faith, and what God having to reflect, what God calls us, the kind of life that we should live. So if you are interested to know more, or even just to sit in and listen, please sign up with us at info@freecomchurch.org. Please sign up for this Friday. Please sign up to join this Friday's conversation series. Do sign up before Friday, which is on the 23rd of July, and you'll actually receive an email. Next, we actually have a baptism class coming in August. So we'd like to really invite you, for those of you who want to prepare yourself in entering your faith, in coming to a life of discipleship with Christ. We will be holding our baptism during our church anniversary on the 11th of October. So the classes for the baptism class will be held in August. So do sign up by 31st of July by emailing us at info@freecomchurch.org. Or actually, if you are more comfortable in reaching out to your cell group leaders, you can actually do that through your cell group leaders also, or approaching the pastors directly. Lastly, on the Monday, every Monday after service, the Sunday service production team and the pastors actually come together to review and to reflect on our Sunday service. So we actually love to hear your feedback so that we can improve on our Sunday service, especially now that we are in the interim, right? In planning on going back to the church to do production of our church service, we would really like to hear from you. You can give us your feedback by going to aka.ms/FCC live feedback. Now we'll move on to worshiping God in our giving. And now you can actually give to the church and give to our mission through credit card giving by going to freecomchurch.give.asia. And it can be a monthly giving or a one-time giving of any amount you desire. And you the giving to the freegive.asia is optional, it's not mandatory. In the giving page, you can actually leave your alias or your name and your email so that you can receive our email receipt. So you can email the receipt to you, this for accountability purpose. So you also can set the fund privacy setting so that you will be hidden from the fundraiser page. Okay, next, if you are giving by iBanking or PayNow, all right, I'd like to make an announcement on behalf of our church staff also. Please provide us with your email address. All right, if you have done so previously, you do not need to do it again, as we will have it on record and we will continue to send you the receipts through email. However, if you have never keyed in your email before, or if you have never received any of the receipts for your giving from FCC, please key in your email address so that we can do so. So where can you give it? So where can you key in your email when you're doing your PayNow or your iBanking? Under the reference or some of the notes, right? You can actually just key in your email address and we will put that on record. So I'd like to invite us to take some time to prepare our hearts in our giving. All right. If you'd like to know more options on the giving, you can also go to www.freecomchurch.org/give. Our church is run fully on a volunteer basis with our pastors and our two pastors and church staff on our payroll. So we can our church continue to live out its mission thanks to your faithfulness and your charitable giving. Now I'd like to invite all of us to prepare our hearts for thanking God for our giving. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. God of infinite love and eternal light, thank you for making us a new creation each day through the love of Christ our Lord. We offer ourselves, our strengths and our weaknesses, our will and our desires. May we be peacemakers and bring about shalom wherever we may be, as individuals and as a church. May all praise and glory be yours now and forever. Amen. So thank you for your giving and thank you for joining us today. Before we close, we will actually move on and invite move on to the benediction, and I'd like to invite Reverend Miak Siu to close us off in with benediction.
I will be taking over from Reverend Miak Siu.
Thank you, Pauline.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Will you receive the benediction? God of glory, you called us to be your own. And that is something that constantly blows our mind, that you would want us to be your children. And not only that, you made us a new creation through Christ. And you've given us the ministry of reconciliation, of restoring and be involved in that work of shalom that you're doing in our world and in our lives. God, help us. Help us to change and be transformed in your likeness day by day. Even in times when we may be discouraged and may not see how things are changing, God, help us to know that you are at work, doing a marvelous work of grace, not just in our lives, but in our world. And so now go. Go as God's people of grace, of love, of change, of justice. Go out into this world that God sends you to. And may our God of love and shalom go with you every step of the way. Amen.
Thank you, Pauline, for the benediction. And thank you everyone for joining us today, this Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday again, where we come together to grow, and to enjoy the presence of God and to encounter God once again. So this is not the end. I'd like to see everyone, you know, those of you continue our conversation and meeting and greeting each other, right, in our post-service discussion room and in our prayer room. So I'll see everyone there. And have a very, very good weekend, the rest of the weekend, and a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.